Yay!
Thank you, everyone, for listening to Thank You for Being a Podcast. We are the Golden Girls Podcast, the podcast in which we watch an episode of The Golden Girls, and then we break it down a scene by scene. I'm Anthony DeSamito. And today, we have a very awesome special guest.
Who?
Who could it be? The very awesome Chris Sanders.
Yay!
Yay! Santa Claus.
I'm like the rose. Because I'm married and a goody two-shoes, who's also very ignorant about fatal diseases.
Well, I'm glad that you're ignorant.
I'm setting the seed, because they don't know what episode we're going to talk about.
They don't. They don't. Well, the title's in the podcast.
Oh, is it?
But it doesn't say what happened in the title. It's a very, very vague.
Because I had a few guesses when I saw the title. I thought one of them, 72 hours, I figured like one of them was murdered and they had 72 hours to find the killer, because first 48 is so important.
Right, as we've seen from the A&E show, first 48. Never seen a white person get murdered on that show. Isn't that weird? Okay. And so we watched an amazing episode. But before we get started, we usually start by asking our guests, what is a Golden Girls background? And I know that there's very minimal Golden Girls background on your part. So can you describe what you felt it was going to be, maybe? And then what, compared to what you saw, did this live up to your expectations? What was your reaction, general reaction, Chris Sanders?
So I actually think it was better than my expectations. Ooh. I think it was, yeah, I think the writing was really, it was intelligent and thoughtful generally. Like, the jokes were well structured and delivered really well and really fast paced. Like, way, way more so than I remember from, like, 80s and 90s television. And, yeah, my history with Golden Girls is very minimal. Like, I've seen a couple episodes, because I do remember as a child watching an episode or two when my mom would watch it. Right. And they would, whenever we would visit, the main thing about Golden Girls I remembered is when we would every summer go to Massachusetts to visit my grandma, my mom's mom.
Oh.
They would watch it together, and they would always... My nana would always...
You do have a Golden Girls background.
My nana would always reference herself as Sophia and my mom as Dorothy.
That's great.
But sometimes would call my mom Blanche, because I think my mom... She thought her daughter was a whore, I guess. But otherwise, I just... like. The episodes are so quick, but I at least a couple times during an episode, Nana would say something along the lines of... Okay, Nana's got to go get more vodka, because she drank a lot.
She liked to drink during Golden Girls.
So that's,
I'm a straight up Blanche. That's who I relate to. But I think there's, I think I get more Dorothy-ish as the series goes along. I think Genevieve feels the same way too.
Dorothy's like the straight man in the group, right? She's the straightest of all.
She's the straight man.
She grounds everyone.
Mm-hmm. She's the reactory.
And protects
everyone. Yeah. Did you say protects everyone? What was that?
Golden Girls is all around us.
Yeah, Golden Girls is all around us. And death is all around us, too. That is a theme of the Golden Girls that we have figured out.
That pretty much every episode, the undertones are, we're going to die.
We're going to die. Yeah.
So might as well deal with this pressing issue in a...
Yes.
And all right.
And so, as we do with every episode, Genevieve is going to spiel a brief synopsis of, it's kind of an oxymoron, of what we watch. So, that for the listener who wasn't here watching it with us. So, go ahead, Genevieve.
All right.
Sorry about that. Dun dun dun.
So, Rose
thinks, Chris's mouth is agape.
A gawk, I am.
Dun dun dun. If you've been living under a rock, that's what happens, people. Like, what?
What is
this? Yeah.
It had to have had a lot more weight and shock and awe when it aired.
Back then. Yeah. Yes. All right. And what else, Genevieve?
And Georgie is planning a benefit for the wetlands.
The wetlands. It's where you get AIDS.
I thought it was some obscure.
They're coming up with the slogans, remember?
Right.
They're like, wetlands, give a fuck. What were they saying?
Do something about it. No, really.
Wetlands, they're pretty gross.
I thought maybe it was like a not so veiled attempt at trying to raise awareness for older dry vaginas.
It seems like maybe it.
I'm just surprised, like the how risque some of the jokes are. They didn't. That was some low hanging fruit, and they didn't go
they
for
were
it.
Like, yeah.
Like that could totally. You could totally see that being like a jibe from Sophia towards Blanche about her wetlands.
Because they kept making Blanche the butt of the joke.
Yeah.
Of like they're gonna raise money by having Blanche fuck a bunch of dudes.
Which Blanche totally agreed with.
She was down.
Yeah.
Yeah. Even though like when AIDS is on the table, I'm just gonna say, like, I'm usually turned off by sex, you know? Like, you know what I mean? Like, it was this conversation at the very beginning where when they find out about Rose having to go get tested, and then she's like, and then Blanche is like, just don't worry about that right now. Let's talk about how many guys I'm gonna fuck. Yeah. And I'm just like, hello? She can listen to like watch like rape documentaries for 3 hours straight and then like, all right, time to go get laid, you know, like it's like nothing faces this woman's sexual drive, and I encourage it. I love it.
No, they don't. If anything, they need to work on flood prevention.
You know what else needed to get stuffed besides those envelopes?
Oh, referencing the final joke of the show.
I'm sorry, I went to the end of the show. Okay, so like it's like I was like, they're trying to come up with a name for it, and I was like, they should call it Swamp Aid. That would be great.
Yeah.
But then the whole episode was about AIDS, so they're probably like, okay, we can't have two plot lines with the word AIDS in them. You know, like this is.
They could have hidden it and called it Swamp Hive.
Swamp Hive.
Hive doesn't suggest anything about saving anything, but it at least gets the hive in there.
The hip. Somebody once said to me, they were talking to me and they were like, oh, he has, so they were telling me that somebody had HIV and they're like, he has the high five. And I was like, what? The high five? And it was a drag queen and that was telling me this. And I was like, what does that mean? What is five in Roman numeral? And I was like, V. Oh, like that's, no, that's yeah, such no, a it's weird.
Pretty shitty, yep.
First of all, it's high four.
No, it is no, high five.
It's H4.
It'd be H4.
H4, yeah. Which is like, reminds me of 4-H.
Yeah, it reminds me of so horses. Wholesome. There's something with horses.
Yeah. He has H4. What is four in Roman numerals? No.
Oh, that's not. I'm sorry. That's a long way to go.
That's a long way to go. Yeah, it's never going to work. Okay, and so it was weird. Okay, and then this was a huge statement about blood transfusions in the 80s. Because, like, a lot of people died, right, from blood transfusions, like, in the late 80s. Like, they had no idea what was going on.
Well, a lot of it, a lot of people contracted HIV because of blood transfusions because there wasn't, there weren't, like, a lot of regulations like yeah. there are now, keeping just anyone could donate, and they yeah. weren't, there also wasn't testing because they thought HIV was just a gay right. disease.
And then, like,
which they even had a couple of lines that they yeah. were like, it was clear that the writers knew they couldn't directly address the gay issue,
right.
like how homosexuality related to AIDS or that right. stigma. But they had a couple of jokes that kind of indirectly address that, or even just lying, because it was like, I think Dorothy said something about, or maybe it was Blanche said something about, this doesn't have anything to do with someone's sins or something like that.
Blanche says, AIDS is not a sin that God uses to it's not a punishment for your sin. AIDS is not God punishing people for their sins.
Yeah, that's it.
And that was definitely about gay people.
Mm-hmm.
Like, low key, which is super subversive, super like we're gonna get all these, like, you know,
they got so many letters written
yeah,
to
probably.
The studio.
What were you gonna say, Genevieve?
Right. And when I like the little arc they made for Sophia, that in the span of only 22 minutes of television, she learned that she was the crazy one and it was ridiculous to do all those things. And one of the final shots, she drinks out of the cup that she had marked with an R for Rose.
Right. And there was like, and it was like her character grew, and you were like, good for her. She's gonna drink out of the R cup, which is kind of fucked up to do in the first place. Like, I understand why they needed to make her kind of a bitch, but it was just kind of like they were trying to make it funny that she wouldn't use the toilet because Rose might have had HIV. And, like, it was just such a weird scene.
Well, it's weird right now. Like, hindsight's 20/20. There was... Yeah. Were we the same age now as we... were we the same age then as we are now? We very likely would have thought that was a...
Right.
A funny, like, we still could have been totally for the gay community and yeah. and against the stigma that it creates, but we also could have found that just as
because
funny as they clearly thought it was, right?
Not using an AIDS person's bathroom
or being a little bit of afraid of it because we don't right. know everything about it yet.
One time a friend of mine came out to me and told me he had HIV. And, like, I wanted to make him feel like I wasn't afraid of it. So then, like, I kissed him. And then he was like, Anthony, I don't like you that way. And I was like, oh, yeah. Well, I just wanted to, I don't know why I did that.
That would have been a wonderful scene if I might have HIV.
I know.
And Blanche just leaps across the table and just rams her tongue down Rose's throat. And then Dorothy's like, Dorothy just looks like kind of concerned at them. And then Sophia says something really witty, like over easy.
She just starts painting a R on top of them, making out. Team Rocket. That's what I thought. So I don't know why I did. I think I was 21 at the time, and I was like, I don't know why I thought that would be a good idea to just kiss my friend. Like, it was a friend. We weren't even like sexually interested.
But your brain was made this connection of, oh, this people panic. Think that AIDS can transfer in ways other than sexual transmission or sharing needles. I better let him know that I know that's not true by kissing him.
Yeah. So every time someone tells me they have HIV, I just try and kiss them because that's my first instinct. It's tradition now.
I mean, that's like we all know there's a stigma against Muslims for being terrorists and
just kidding.
And blowing things up or piloting planes into buildings.
Yeah.
So that'd be like if I had a friend that was like, I've just converted to Islam, I would then just, without saying anything, hand them keys to a 747.
Yeah. Like, here you go. I trust you.
You're not going to do anything.
Or like if you have a black friend and then he's like hungry and all you have is like watermelon or hummus. You're like, here's hummus. I'm not going to go down the, you know, I'm not going to like make you feel like you're the stereotype. I don't know if that applies to that. Okay, maybe that was a bad example.
Yeah, edit that out.
No, I'm going to keep it in because people need to know my mistakes. Okay, and so.
Hold on 1 second. I stopped recording for a second.
Okay. Is it working?
No, not yet. You need to go ahead.
Okay. Oh, yeah, the volcano stuff.
Oh, yeah, her old volcano story.
Druids.
Because I have a question about that, too, that I'll wait till we're recording.
Oh, this will be on the podcast. I'm not editing this out.
Oh, cool. While we're waiting for Genevieve to...
Sorry, I'm
maybe I will.
The flow of death.
Okay, but maybe I will edit it out. Yeah.
All right.
Golden girls. I want to see all these episodes because they're
no.
Just
I
like,
know Sisters and Other Strangers,
and then Cheaters.
Cheaters is great because it's
and then Twice in a Lifetime.
Yep, which
I think it's like the same episode, but the sisters they're not getting along.
Yeah. To me, Twice in a Lifetime, it looks like that's got to be an old flame of Rose's who's come back.
Oh, that's right. I think that one, Sisters and Strangers, is the one where Blanche's younger sister writes a romance novel, and the main character is Blanche.
Oh.
And Blanche is all pissed off because she's like a giant slut in it or something.
Oh.
I think. I'm not too sure. But yeah. How's the wheel?
It's taking a long time to fix itself. I don't know what's going on. I'm sorry. sorry.
It's okay.
It's okay, yeah.
Take your time. I'm going to eat some pizza. Do you have a show tonight?
No, anything? I'm going to a show.
Which one?
One of my roommates is in a show that I think it's called Snowden Theater. It's some Christmas show. He's like a him and his girlfriend that live with us are both like just actors, like mostly theater, but then also audition for commercials and movies and stuff, but it's some singing and dancing, and I don't know.
I liked your combat battle video.
Yeah,
that was cool.
Class is so fucking cool, and that's like,
that's. I wanted to add sound effects.
That's just one of the.
I'm gonna be like boom, boom, boom.
That's just one of the basic things. I just finished the broadsword basic fight, and now I'm Thursday. I just started the advanced stuff, so now I start working on double cutlass. So one in each hand, like,
yeah. That's so badass.
And like I said too, I had no intention of pursuing anything like that, but it's so fucking affordable.
Like, really? How much is it?
Only $125 a month.
What?
Yeah, and we meet at least every Tuesday and Thursday.
Sticks included?
For 2.5 hours. Oh yeah, they provide all the weapons and everything. And it already, just 2 weeks ago, the zombie movie that I got pulled into, it's SAG and it's deferred pay. So if it, all it needs to do is get picked up by a streaming service, and it should make enough money to pay, because it has to, deferred pay has to pay producers and investors first, and then they start paying like people that worked on it. But it's like $175 a day, and I ended up on set for like 5 days.
Will you be able to become SAG?
No, I don't know all the ins and outs of SAG. I don't want to, because it's fucking expensive. It's like $2,000 or $3,000 just for your like initial entry, and that all you get from that is just now you're SAG and you can't do any work that's not SAG.
Right.
And there is way less work for SAG now compared to non-union work. Uh-huh. And that's almost all the auditions I've been getting.
Because of the internet.
Yeah. Are all non-union. And it's companies don't have to pay as much money. Like I had this big national commercial audition, the one that I cut my thumb on while interpretive dancing to
any laptop
and hit a laptop. I didn't get it because apparently I looked too good, because they specifically wanted someone who was a little weird or funny looking to be like a truck driver. But that spot, normally if it were SAG, would be, could you get residuals from it every time it aired, and you could make anywhere from $10,000 to $100,000 depending on how much it aired and whatever else. But they're doing it non-union, so it's just a buyout. So regardless of how many times it airs, they could even air it during the Super Bowl, and you wouldn't get anything extra for it. So you're
like,
it's just harder to get to make what people used to make.
It's so complicated.
It is.
I'm doing a shoot January 8th.
Yeah.
This is a web series.
Well, I have some bad news.
What's that?
I had to restart my computer. It froze up on me. I don't know what was going on. It froze up on me. So nothing I did was saved. Oh.
Okay. Well, you know what? We had you on speaker, so maybe I can... maybe you're able to, maybe we can hear you.
Okay.
So.
What do you want to do? Do we want to start over? Because
I had you on speaker, so your voice is recorded, I think, in our thing. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, let me call you back. Let me listen back to what we recorded, okay?
Okay.
All right. Bye.
Okay. I can at least
Okay, so we're back. We had some tech difficulties. Now Genevieve is full-blown audio. Yay!
Hey! Yep, my system had the hit.
Didn't mean to say full-blown.
That totally sounds like... that sounds episode. Like... I was doing I was going like the porn route, but I didn't even think about the full blown audio, full blown as an eight. I get it.
Okay.
Oh.
All right, we're back.
All right.
So we were at the I guess we can start with that volcano story. And I don't even know how he got to that, like, but Rose was talking about how she was at St. Olaf's active volcano, and there was like a bunch of druids.
What she thought were druids.
We thought were druids.
That ended up being Shriners just looking for a good time. Which isn't that what all Shriners are for? A good time.
What is exactly a Shriner?
I don't know if anyone knows for sure. I just know that they have the funny hats.
You always see them with young children.
Oh, shit. That's not a good sign.
They're the Shriner statues. If you've ever seen like a actual Shriner building, there's always statues of a random Shriner with the hat on and then like holding the hand of a small child.
That sounds pedophilic.
It does sound pedophilic. Full-blown...
Full-blown
child love.
Child love.
Oh, man. Yeah, Shriners or druids were looking for the town's stupidest virgin to sacrifice to the volcano. And of course, Rose volunteered.
Rose her hand.
Yeah.
And walked between their legs as they slapped her ass. Is that what happened?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was like a frat initiation.
Okay.
Yeah.
Were the children there? I don't know what's going on.
That's how you deal with a volcano, I think, before 1940.
I like the thought of a volcano in the middle of Minnesota.
You just got your ass slapped by some Shriners and yeah, and then there was a bunch of ash, and that's how it worked.
I had a is this a recurring bit that Rose has that about Saint Olaf? What was Saint Olaf? Was this her?
Saint Olaf is her the town she's from Minnesota, and it's like a very dumb town. Like people celebrate like Tuna Day because the founder of canned tuna is from Saint Olaf, and so people dress up in the town square as like jars of mayonnaise, and like it's just a very quirky dumb town.
Awesome.
And everybody's like just ridiculous.
But it seems like a very cheerful town too, so
right, very
so not town. Not all bad. Like stupidity has its benefits, I think.
Right,
I'm gonna come right out and say that right now. So
right, there is like, a buttermilk
guys, I wish I were stupid.
there's a buttermilk queen pageant. It was just like whoever milks the best butter gets to be buttermilk queen that year. It's just like a really eclectic town.
It seems like the based on context clues from this iteration of the Saint Olaf bit, it's just rife with sexual innuendo.
Yeah.
Pretty much every time, right?
A lot of times there are some. This one was a lot of times. It's very like a story about a pig that got caught in a tractor or something. It can be really fun and silly too. Not always super sexual.
Huh.
All right, I want to talk about the HIV clinic. Which had no...
Well, it wasn't an HIV clinic. It was a hospital.
It was a hospital.
There weren't... Yeah. This is 1990. It aired in 1990, right? So there weren't... I don't even know. Were there clinics yet?
There weren't HIV clinics. You're right. Now, I'm just a stupid millennial and just said HIV clinic. But, okay. First of all, there's this establishing shot of the hospital, and there's a palm tree covering the hospital's name. And it's like, why can't you show this hospital? Because people get tested for AIDS there. You can't show the name of the hospital. Like,
it was in black and white too.
I don't know. I think it was a very blue tone.
It was definitely like shrouded in secrecy for some reason.
Yeah.
Like
black and white, shrouded in secrecy.
Like the next shot was going to be Robert Stack telling you about a ghost that's in the halls.
It was very Twilight Zone-y.
Well, that was unsolved mysteries. Thank you, Jenny.
Well, you solved that mystery.
Yep.
Oh, wow. That guy died of AIDS. I'm kidding. No one knows what happened to that guy. It's a mystery.
They're about to start streaming.
Really?
Yeah, every episode of Unsolved Mysteries.
The scariest part was
the music. Such a scary show. Maybe that's what you guys do after Thank You for Being a Cop podcast is done.
Thank You for Being a Mystery.
Yeah, I think actually that's a pretty good idea.
That would be insane. Actually, people would listen to it because no one wants to watch them.
Well, you don't want to watch them alone. It's not like I saw every episode. I saw a few because that was on around the same time as this, right? Mm-hmm. And they were frightening as a child.
Right after America's Most Wanted.
Oh, well, it was that string. It was always like Rescue 911, America's Most Wanted, and Unsolved Mysteries.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's terrible.
What day of the week did Golden Girls air? Did you guys ever call the tip line
for anything?
What's that?
What?
Did you guys ever call any of the tip lines on those shows?
Oh, the tip lines for it? No, I was way too little. I didn't know how phones worked.
Did you call it?
Oh, man. No, I never did, but I like constantly, I would watch those shows and I would like, I thought like everybody was a murderer.
That was one of the most fun parts to see.
Yeah, it was a bearded guy, has a scar here. I'm like, I would constantly see guys with beards and scars and be like, that guy's the murderer. Like, yeah.
The fun episodes were whenever they did updates and where they found new information based on a call in from some viewer. Yeah, they did.
That's so
they
funny.
Didn't happen a lot.
So
my point is that I was really unsupervised when I was a kid. So
this is a mysterious hospital. You can use a fake name, like, which at that. I'm amazed that that was a thing. Like, I'm not doubting it wasn't, but like,
oh yeah, right.
Do you want to use a fake name because it's an AIDS test? The secretary, like,
not only that, use a fake name because we're all about anonymity, but go ahead and bring these non-blood relatives just anywhere you want with you in the hospital.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they contacted Rose to let her know that her transfusion could have been contaminated with HIV blood.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I mean, wouldn't they want her to have her name so they can send her the records?
Right.
Or like call her or something?
This is how people got AIDS.
He's giving
because fake names.
They did seedy shit like give fake names before they got poked.
Yeah,
with a dick.
If you're gonna have a terrible disease, you might as well have a fun nickname for all of your medical records, I guess. But yeah, I was like, no, that seems strange. I don't know.
Yeah, and then like there was like no people of color in this hospital. Well, I keep wanting to. Okay, I'm sorry. I keep thinking it's a HIV clinic.
Well,
I'm
we like, only saw it.
Anybody?
We only saw it during the day shift.
During the day shift.
If it was on the night shift, you better believe the janitors and other cleaners were people of color.
Would come out because they're cleaning. Only white people can go to this special hospital. Sophia bought a bag of condoms for Dorothy. She's just like, this is a thing now. You gotta watch out for all the dick that you're shoving in your wetlands and just like because you got to be careful. I'm your mom. I don't want to get it. Basically, that was her attitude.
And, well, it was also kind of a backdoor talk about how parents should talk to their kids about sex and AIDS and you know, and STIs and stuff like that. And just basically all about Dorothy and Sophia's sex talk, where Sophia's just like,
you know where.
Yeah, maybe you should watch out down there, you know. That was it. That was the end of the talk. So
yeah, I think that it goes back to how progressive this script for this episode was. They were really trying to pack in a lot of related issues to the AIDS epidemic, which they didn't really have time to give each of those issues
room to breathe.
Its own time, because that was the only part of that totally a necessary part of prevention. Mm-hmm. But they're kind of forcing it in there, just like this. They're forcing the idea of wow, we really got to educate the public on the truth about HIV and AIDS. Let's do it through the medium of four senior citizens living together. Yeah. And instead of they could have done it on, what's another show that was airing at this time that was like the age range that was way more likely or higher risk.
Parker Lewis Can't Lose.
Sure, yeah. Well, that was high schoolers. Friends. When did Friends start?
Friends was coming.
That was mid '90s.
Friends later. Is in '94, so I think.
So it was a few more years.
They didn't Beverly even Hills, do that in 90210.
That
yeah, 90210 would have had to been it.
I you said Family Matters had an AIDS episode, right?
I don't know. I don't remember if they had an AIDS episode. I just remember there were several Family Matters episodes that tackled some sort of social issue.
Yeah.
Because they did a teen pregnancy one. They did a underage drinking one. Mm. That was when they did the Urkel dance, because Urkel was the one that saved the party or got them out getting everyone to dance.
How dance, can we forget the drink. Urkel dance?
It was weird when Dorothy was like, I can't believe parents don't talk about sex with their kids, right in front of her mom, who never
didn't talk about sex with her kid.
Yeah, you're just you're just making it weird, man. Okay, and then there was then Rose and Blanche goes in with Rose, because she needs someone to be there for her. Blanche sort of tells Rose, I've been in your shoes. I went and got tested. Because it sounded like you just only need to get tested once. I already did the test. I don't have it. It's doesn't it seem like that?
Yeah, it seems if you don't get it, you're immune.
Right.
So even if you've never done anything that increases the risk of contracting HIV, just get tested, and then if you do and it's negative, you're all good. Go ahead and share that needle, have that unprotected sex, and kiss that homosexual right on the lips.
And told you he had AIDS. This one time, I was about to have sex with this guy, and I was like, hey, you don't have any STDs, right? And he was like, never have, never will. And I was like, whoa, that's a bold statement. How do you know you're never
That's a great
get
thing
one?
To say accompanying some prophylactic. Whipping out, that's a really dope way to whip out a condom.
Right.
Never have, never will.
Never
Rip,
will.
Put it on, let's fuck.
No, but we didn't have a condom. I mean, we didn't butt fuck, but we did mouth stuff.
I know that that's supposed to be reassuring, but that actually just kind of annoys me. Oh, so you're never going to have an STI? You know?
Whoa, look at you. Are you from Europe? SDI? Someone's been watching Black Mirror. Yeah. I'm just kidding. You can say STI. Oh, because you were watching Chewing Gum?
Yeah, I guess. Well, I think that's what you're supposed to call them now.
No, STI is right.
STI is right.
STD. Now? It used to be STD because they were diseases, because a lot of them were incurable, but now it's mostly infection STI, because a lot of them do have, almost all of them have some sort of cure. While, I mean, you still have the, like, the difficult ones like herpes that just keep coming back. Yeah. You can at least keep them in check. And even AIDS is the antivirals that they have for them now. It's no longer a death sentence.
Yeah.
But
now there's PrEP.
Right. But I mean, I don't know that STD is completely gone, because I often see it when it's listed, it's STD/STI, or the years of, not that I did sexual health education, but I did.
I think it's going to be like when people were trying to make BC, BCE before, people were trying to make BC before Common Era instead of before Christ.
Well, which is what it is.
Is that what it is now?
It was, yeah. No.
But
it,
no yeah. one says that.
It would be the, it turned, it morphed into before Christ. It was always BCE.
And then it turned into BC? Yeah.
I thought so.
I thought it was the other
or one. Maybe did Greg do it with the Gregorian calendar?
Gregorian?
I don't
Greg.
Know. That's all I think about when I think Greg. Of that. Is there's this,
yeah, we're
this
just
guy
really
named Greg in Italy or something that
Gregorian
that wanted to make a calendar but didn't like how anyone had done it so far.
I have no idea what this Greg dude is doing. That was just someone sneaking into my house. I don't know who that is. Okay, so the doctor comes in and he's like, he has this clipboard and of a folder, and he looks like he's gonna give you results, because when a doctor comes in with a folder, it means results. But then he puts the results and is like, well, see you in 3 days. Like, why did you make her wait? Like, why did you... You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, all right. So he's, like, flipping through. He's like, all right, well, see you in 3 days. Like, he basically did that. Like, and then rightfully so, Rose is pissed, because now she has 72 hours to find out.
Well, yeah. Part of their medical process is to keep people in suspense. So
it's part of the Unsolved Mysteries yep. Hospital.
That's why Robert yes. Stack owns it.
Robert Stack.
Also, hospital. I guess they don't have a much of a operating budget, because when he came in, Rose was still holding her cotton yeah. ball on her recently stabbed inside elbow. Mm-hmm. When there's no like PA or just nurse practitioners there yeah. to bandage her up real
she
quick.
To do it herself.
Just to do it herself.
Blanche had to hold her fucking needle, and like Rose had to squeeze the blood out.
And this is it's the same hospital that botched the blood transfusion.
Yeah.
Earlier.
And you know what I don't get is, okay. It, at one point in the 80s, they're like, oh, fuck, blood transfusions get people AIDS. Fuck, we should do a routine checkup on all the people that got them. Like, and then the doctor could just say that. This is a routine procedure. We don't know if you have it or not. Like, he's just like, yeah, we'll find out. You could have it. You know, like, he wasn't comforting. Like, I hate the doctors that don't have a bedside manner, or a shitty one, or they're just like, ugh. Like once when I got tested once, the doctor, after she tested me, she was like, well, then we'll see the results, and then afterwards you're on your own.
I don't know. It's
yeah. I was like, what?
It's well, a tough. It's
just
a
walks away.
It's a tough. I had a brain tumor scare a couple years ago, and the scare started basically by my general practitioner being the one, just based on the symptoms that I had. This is prior to me getting a like a CAT scan or a, an MRI of my head to actually see if there is anything. She's just basing on, here's all the symptoms, and all of those suggest a brain tumor. So instead of, she, I think, was trying for like better bedside manner. So when she wanted to let me know, she wanted to wait until I was like on the way out the door, but then just was like, you need to go see a specialist. And then put her hand on my shoulder and was like, have a good day. We'll see you later. I'm really sorry. Think it's a brain tumor. Two pats and then walked away.
Oh shit.
And that's, and what? Then I just said, okay. And then go through like, go through like 72 hours of waiting for my MRI and then doing the MRI, and then they don't give you the results there. You have to wait for them to send them back to your general practitioner and then go see them again. Yeah. So it was like a full week of waiting, and then I go and it was nothing. It was like a similar to this doctor walking in and just, you're all good. You're fine. Nothing wrong with you. All that you probably just spent a couple thousand dollars to find out that there's nothing's wrong.
Cattle to doctors.
Yeah.
You become like a product, like a merch, damaged goods. You know, like it, you get desensitized, I think, in the medical profession. It's like if you live in a toilet, all you see is gonna be shit. You know, that kind of deal.
Like, yeah.
Oh man, I lost my nuts, but so okay, so then Rose sort of freaks out. She's like, I'm gonna die. And back then, when you got HIV, you died like in a
year. It was
year.
Quick. Yeah.
In a year.
Because there was nothing to slow it at all.
But if she got it 2 years ago, wouldn't she be dead now?
Like, yeah.
Like 5 years ago. It was like 5 years ago she had a transfusion. So it's been,
right, it was five,
a
yeah,
long,
that's true.
Long time.
Why is she freaking out? She had,
yeah,
gone,
I don't
to
know
the
that,
doctor since.
Yeah, and HIV isn't like, it's not like it can lie dormant for a while. Like it's right. It's in there and it takes over your T cells and you're screwed.
So that didn't fucking make sense to me. And I don't know why the other Golden Girls were like, you would be dead by now.
Especially when they seemed to be, Dorothy was all up on the current knowledge of HIV AIDS. Because
yeah.
She was the one kind of leading the, she was the one pioneering the, let's knock down the stigma.
Yeah, knock down the stigma.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, they're just like letting their friend panic.
Yeah.
Bitches, man. Bitches. So she's like freaking out around the house. She's just like, she went to Alabama.
She went on a 20-hour road trip to Alabama.
Yeah, that is, back. That's, you know, things are not going well in your life when you go to Alabama to find
a,
answers.
To a truck stop. Like, she didn't go anywhere specifically.
Maybe she was like, I'm giving up. I'm just going to fuck all these dudes in a truck stop because I have HIV and I know it. I don't know. I thought I had HIV once. I had a scare. Because this guy that I broke up with told me that I gave him HIV. And then I was like, what? And then he like, then
yeah,
I got
something to check out.
Yeah. Because I guess he tested positive. And then I was like, okay. So like for a month, I was like, I didn't get tested. I was just scared. I was like convinced I had it. And then I got tested and they're like, you don't have HIV, but you can't eat bread anymore.
What?
you're gluten free.
I thought I had AIDS, but it was just a gluten intolerance.
I had gluten intolerance because my tummy was hurting. So I was like, oh no, I have AIDS.
That's usually the first symptom, yeah, for people at high risk for HIV is
tummy hurting.
Oh man, my tummy hurts.
I
no.
Think diarrhea might be one of the symptoms.
Diarrhea is actually a symptom of a lot of bad things.
Yeah.
I believe diarrhea is like a symptom of everything.
Just
like,
about,
basically,
yeah.
Like just, yeah. Just your body just is mad at you.
Except
and you're sick.
Constipation. No, wait. That's a part of that. Because that comes afterwards. Okay. Anyway.
I really appreciate, because we're at about the point of the show that they were all of them except for Rose were sitting around the table. This is when the attacking the stigma lines were coming out. Like,
even though they had an R cup.
Yep. It's not a sin. Or it's not punishment for sins. There was also an absolute fire Soviet Union Cold War reference joke that was so great. I got to remember exactly what they said, but because Rose was talking about St. Olaf again and giving another story of what they did, and she said she had led the charge to build their very own missile silo. And they were like, why would you want to do that? And she said that they thought if they made themselves a first strike target, it would attract tourists.
Yeah. Pretty solid joke. Yeah, that was a good one.
Yeah. Because you got to remember, this was 1990. The Soviet Union was still a thing until about a year and a half later at the end of 91.
Come to this.
Right. Well,
they already have a volcano.
Well, that's so growing. I was born and raised in and around Kalamazoo, Michigan. Kalamazoo, Michigan is exactly halfway between Detroit and Chicago. In the Cold War, when ICBMs were just mass produced, and especially there was this huge buildup by the United States and Russia of nuclear arms, the point of an ICBM is to wreak absolute havoc and just devastate massive areas, right? Mm. But you only have so many, and you don't want to, there's no need for overkill. So the theory was that they would hit, you can try to sometimes kill two birds with one stone or two cities with one missile. So instead of targeting both Detroit and Chicago separately, the, I guess, kind of urban legend of Kalamazoo that residents would talk about is that if there is nuclear war with Russia against America, they would actually just target Kalamazoo so that you could destroy Detroit and Chicago at the same time, which is absurd because no, you wouldn't. They just build two missiles. And get up because you want to make sure you get them both. You're not going to get some shitty town in the middle, like real good, and then maybe get the other two.
Sounds like the sound a missile would make in a comic book when it strikes a city.
Kalamazoo just wanted to be included. They just wanted to feel special.
Yeah, that idea, that's why that's kind of a really, really smart joke.
A missile for two for Kalamazoo. Rose, Karina reference.
Rose is talking about like building tourism because Kalamazoo's like thinks it's self-important. We're much more important than we think we are. Yeah.
We all thought we were
going to. Much less important than we think we are.
Yeah. Like United States thought that it was going to explode during Y2K. Just our specific state was going to just explode. And so this whole situation with Sophia not wanting. Have we talked about that? Sophia not wanting to use a toilet.
Oh, we referenced it, but we didn't really like break it down.
Okay. So that was the most awkward scene out of this whole thing. Like, she's just like afraid, but I get why they did that. Like, I get why they made Sophia afraid to use the toilet or use Rose's cups, because that's what people were doing back then.
That's why there's those toilet seat napkins in airport bathrooms.
Yeah, it's from the 80s.
I didn't know that it's a relic of the 80s.
Yeah.
It's a relic of AIDS hysteria. Not just
the aftermath.
Not just
because
I don't want your pubic hair on my thigh.
There should be a museum called AIDS Hysteria Aftermath. It's just... toilet seat covers and Purell. So like, but they made it funny and it was so weird. They're like the whole, like, I just thought about the whole, that like the 8-year-old boy who had HIV and nobody wanted to go swimming in the pool he went into.
Remember that?
Like, yeah. I think that was a reference to that. That's all I thought about. But no one kissed, unfortunately. They didn't do it like I did. And so, okay. And so...
Thank God we're not still concerned with who uses the bathroom before other people.
Right.
Hint, hint. Yeah.
And they say that even if you use the toilet seat covers, they did test and you get as much like toilet bacteria from the covers than you do if you didn't use them. Did you know that?
Yikes. I didn't know that.
Yeah. I don't know if toilet bacteria is a word.
I think it's just a ridiculous, even if the toilet seat cover did shield you, it's just precariously perched atop this very slick seat, and it doesn't stay in place no matter what you do anyways.
No.
So it's just not effective.
I just end up wiping my ass with it because it...
That or it slides down and acts as like a hammock for your log. And then you're just
it's a log hammock.
Resting below your cheeks.
Michelle Balloon. Do you know Michelle Balloon? She has this joke. She doesn't use a plastic piece of paper. She goes ass to porcelain. And you know why? Because I don't keep a giant ass spoon on my ass. I keep that place, and then her tag is, I keep that place ass spoon free. Her tag is a joke. This is great.
Friend of the show, Michelle Balloon.
Friend of the show, Michelle Balloon. Okay. And so there's this whole thing about Blanche fucking up more dudes for the fundraiser. And then right in the middle of like the AIDS thing, let's fuck some dudes. Okay. And then in the patio, Rose is like praying while sitting, which is great. I love I love unorthodox prayer. I like to pray while I eat. It's cool.
They call that grace.
Grace.
No, but he actually does it while eating.
While I eat it.
Because
me and my sister...
Like a druid or something.
Thank you for this, bro. Like a druid. Because me and my sister used to say grace while we're laying down in our bunk beds. Like, we didn't, like, get on our knees. We thought that was a little much.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. And then Dorothy... Okay, they go... So it's been 72 hours. Rose has been crazy yelling and screaming. Like it's tough, right? Blanche kept it all to herself. When she got tested, bottled it deep inside. I've done that before too. I've gone, told nobody, done a bunch of tests. I don't want to jinx it, you know?
Yeah.
I think that's what it was.
Yeah.
Well, I think there's stigma attached to just having to get tested anyways, and there shouldn't be, because like, you just should get tested to make sure you're healthy and that everyone else can be healthy. But I had to go get – I got a technically an STI from the Gulf of Mexico. I had all the symptoms of
that's what you like either, tell your wife.
Right. Oh, this was years and years ago before I was even with her. But I had all the some of the symptoms of what could have been like three or four different STIs, like chlamydia, gonorrhea, some other things. So I had to go get tested but at the time I was with a girlfriend, and we'd been together for a couple of years. So there was like, I wasn't cheating or anything. So I was like, well,
you're
can't be
cheating on her with a jellyfish.
Right.
It can't. They're so tempting.
It is.
Yeah.
With those tentacles.
the liquid goo that comes out of them. What is it? The ink?
That comes out of octopi and squid, not jellyfish.
Is it? Oh, it's not jellyfish?
They're not called jellyfish because they excrete jelly.
What are they?
There's not. Okay. There's not old sailors that just go to sea with a jar of peanut butter and a loaf of bread. Like, I'll make do.
Come here. Oh man. There's. Do you know how jellyfish are born? It's so weird. It's alien-like. They're like a plant, and then the plant breaks off, and becomes a baby jellyfish.
Oh, that's neat.
That's fucking crazy.
So they're not the it's a, they're in eggs then.
So external. It's like an egg grows into like a plant in the ground, and then they break off into little jellyfish. Little
oh, that's super cool.
No, that's
so,
pretty cool.
So fucking that's super weird. Cool.
We went from me talking about my STD scare
to jellyfish.
To how being... jellyfish are born.
Oh, okay. So
no, I like it. Where
did
it
you
went.
Get?
Oh, well, I had to do. The point I was just making was that the even though there was no reason for me to think that I had anything, just that I had to go get tested. It like I didn't want to tell anybody about it. Like I had to go to just to one of the local clinics, and it was. It's a free clinic because I didn't have health insurance or any money. And I had to like wait outside in line and then
pregnant girls.
Yeah, with just lots of different people, but a few pregnant girls. And then even when I went in, like it's kind of a seedy place. And then because they needed quick results, I couldn't do the testing. If you do it the regular way where you just pee in a cup, it takes weeks and weeks to get results. They needed to get results right away. So I had to do the swab that they put inside your pee hole. It is really painful.
Yeah.
It is really painful. It made it like that experience makes me respect women even more than I already do for having to go with just regular gynecological exams. Like it is not fun to take moisture out of places that need to be moist. And oh, sorry for using that word. Really sorry for my language.
No, I like the word moist. I enjoy it.
But it ended up that the results came back and they were just like, you don't have anything. They asked if like,
jellyfish.
Did you do anything that could have gotten some bacteria in there? And I was like, I was just in Florida and I was swimming the Gulf of Mexico and I peed while I was
you
in
know,
the water.
I think
and they were like, that's it. You got bacteria from the Gulf in there and you have just, I forget what it was even called. It was just basically like an inflamed urethra.
I think I got something on my dick from the Gulf of Mexico too.
Really?
Yeah.
But on it, mine was in it.
Oh, because it was itchy after I went swimming in it once. I don't know. I put some shit, some cream on it.
Now I'm feeling left out because my penis was not itchy after I went to the Gulf of Mexico.
Have you been to the Gulf of Mexico? I thought you haven't been to Mexico.
I haven't been to Mexico, but the Gulf of Mexico is like that would be like Louisiana, like the inside
Florida.
Coast of Florida,
that's the
like
Gulf
Texas.
Of Louisiana. No, yeah, it's the Gulf of Mexico.
So I've been to the Gulf of Mexico, guys. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but so no. There's like a stigma. And I mean, there doesn't need to be. Like, I mean, you're supposed to get tested regularly. You know, you don't have to. You don't have to broadcast it, but if someone's like, "Yeah, you got tested," you're like, yeah, I did.
I think I'm open more about getting tested now than before, since just becoming a stand-up and wanting to talk about everything you do in your life. But yeah, I used to not get tested and not talk about it and wait forever and just it was scary. It's scary. There was this survey, and they asked gay men, why don't you, if you know you could get HIV, why don't you use a condom? And their number one answer was, I don't care. And the second one was, I'm going to get it anyway.
I get that.
And I was like, what?
But there, I know it's such a weird idea of just immediate defeat, like without even trying, because you're not going to get it anyway. There are clear measures that are easy to do to completely prevent it from happening.
You're not going to get it anyway.
I have, but that's
things
weird.
Will always be the same if you use a condom. Okay, sorry.
That's
I sing once per podcast.
Think about because I haven't had to think about like testing or anything for now. We got married in May this year, but we've been together now for over 5 years. So it's been the last time I got tested was in my single life interim between my girlfriend before my current wife and her. So that was like 6 years ago was the last time I got tested.
Genevieve's in the same boat. Married people.
Yeah, I mean, my husband and I have been together since 2009, and we've been married for 3.5 years. And I've been tested in the last year. I mean, fertility treatments and stuff like that, you kind of have to.
Right.
So,
Oh, because you got to make sure, because those can really, even the most basic STIs can be really cause a lot of difficulties with pregnancy.
And I mean, they just want to, just want you to be safe, and it's fine. It's I mean, with all the stuff they have to test for in pregnancy and fertility and stuff like that, it's almost like the least embarrassing thing.
And plus,
I
they
mean,
want to make sure that, know if they need to use extra gloves or not.
Right.
They
So
need to know
doctors.
If they can drink out of the same cup as you, so, and use the same bathroom as you, so.
They write a G on your mug.
Yeah. The
So
G stands for gross.
they just put an R. So they go to they're back at the hospital, the Twilight Unsolved Mysteries hospital, and the doctor comes in and he's like, "You don't have anything. You're good. You're great." And
He calls her Dorothy
oh
Smornak.
yeah, because they use Dorothy's name as the fake name. So then Rose and everybody just is happy. They're just like, "Well, this is what happens, guys, in real life. You don't get AIDS." And that's the moral of the story.
Yeah, and
That's
everyone's happy. And that this again, another knock on this hospital, but I guess they just don't, that's not a very good doctor. Like, he doesn't have patients lined up because
Yes.
he just left his own office and them in it to just use it as they will until they're done
Yeah.
celebrating that they don't have AIDS.
Is that a thing doctors do? They let you just chill in the office after he leaves? I don't think so.
No,
But it
no, not
happens on
really. I
TV.
mean, I and also, like, this could have been handled with a phone call.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, and it not even a phone call, because now you go, all it is like, no news is good news. We'll only call you if something's wrong.
And everybody cleared their schedule for this.
Yep.
Everyone had to be there.
Well, and that's like a lingering question
Mom.
here. This episode never resolved the B story, which was the wetlands
Yeah.
benefit. We never knew
Oh,
if it actually happened
yeah.
or not, because all we found, like, we know that there was a bunch of bad things happening, like the band canceled,
Yeah.
some of the celebrities didn't come through with the
Right.
celebrity auction items they were supposed to have, and the last thing we knew of it was just that Sophia was wearing the dress that
That she was supposed to.
who's I forget the celebrity name.
Jamie Farr
Yeah, the
from
Jamie
MASH.
Farr
It was
set.
his
Yeah.
dress.
Sorry, I
Which
keep
I gotta say, that's a pretty good get. That was like Blanche's last minute like idea, like get celebrity donations to auction off. And
Yeah.
like they got like didn't they get like Linda Evans compact and like Jamie Farr's dress, like I don't know, it's
That's
pretty good get
legit.
1990,
They're super connected, right?
and I feel like the whole AIDS like story upstaged this entire wetlands thing, because even in this podcast, I sort of didn't talk a lot about the benefit, like or brought it up. It's just it was very like it was just like filler.
Well,
In a
what that's what I'm
way.
saying. Yeah, they clear, obviously, I mean, the episode is called 72 Hours, so the A story was the AIDS
The
scare,
72-hour festival.
but it's like they attempted at this B story, but they never resolved it. So I guarantee it doesn't, because in 90s television you never did, you didn't have storylines that carried through several episodes. It was just you always open and close them in the same episode. So unless in
99%
episode
of the time.
20 of season 5, Twice in a Lifetime, they continue the story of the wetlands benefit, I don't think we'll ever
Yeah.
know.
Not in the Golden Girls universe. Some sitcoms do, like I don't know, Dirty Rock or maybe...
Yeah, but Dirty Rock is much more advanced.
Yes. Much more advanced than this. Or the Mindy Project, that are sort of soap opera kind of like, you know, story structures like that. But yeah, this Golden Girls, you can just watch it like you do.
Mm-hmm.
From a random spot and you're good. Okay, did we miss anything?
I would say on the benefit, it sounds like Sophia didn't mail the invitations.
Oh yeah.
So
oh, right.
So she mailed them and didn't she goes, she was Dorothy is like, "Oh, Sophia stuffed and mailed 500 invitations." And Sophia was like, "Stuffed?"
Mm-hmm. Right. That was the final joke of the episode was stuffed.
Stuffed.
Right. So she wasted a very valuable resource for very old people, which is saliva. That means she licked and sealed 500 envelopes with nothing in them and put them in the mail.
So she's a victim of this. Not the wetlands. Okay. You guys, I think we did it. Yay! So, Chris, thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for having me.
This was wonderful. And so this comes out on, let me take a gander at the calendar, on the 4th of January. Ooh.
Okay. Ooh. I'll share it on my page.
Share it on your page. You'll be tagged in everything. do you have anything you would like to promote? Any shows coming up? Or where can people just find you online?
Yeah, well, I'm going out of town for the holidays.
Yeah.
But you can look at, and this will make me, hell, this will make me update it. My website, chrissanderscomedy.com. When I get back, I'll be at, I think it's the 7th. I'm at Formosa Cafe, doing Mickey's in WeHo, in January. I don't remember the dates.
Where they only serve Mickey's.
Yep, they only serve
40s of Mickey's.
GHB and ketamine.
And Mickey Mouse ears.
I'm going to be in Chapel Hill, North Carolina for the North Carolina Comedy Arts Festival. I think it's their 17th year.
Yay.
Nice.
That's in February, and I don't know the exact dates. So any of you Chapel Hill listeners, look it up.
Look it up.
Figure it out, guys.
All right. And Genevieve, where will you be after January 4th, and where can people find you?
All right. Well, I'm hoping to produce the What a Joke Festival, which is a nationwide festival that's going on in 30 different cities on an inauguration weekend. And in Phoenix, we're going to have a show on the 19th with headliner Emily Gelati.
Oh, she's wonderful.
That's going to be at Valley Bar. And for tickets, you can go to What a Joke Fest. Phoenix PHX at Brown Paper Tickets.
Yay.
So yeah, and let's see, and then we'll still be accepting submissions for Bird City Comedy Festival, which is going on April 6th through 9th. So if you're a comedian, stand-up, improviser, sketch group, or just have a show to pitch, you're welcome to apply. So we'll be accepting submissions through January 15th. And the website is birdcitycomedyfestival.com.
Yay.
Yeah. And you can find me online at Genevieve Rice on just about anything. So, nice. So check it out. Look me up on LinkedIn. We'll talk.
Yay. Bird City is going to be super fun.
I was really I couldn't submit last year for the first one because I was out of town for the dates, but I submitted for this one.
Yay. Well, I hope you get it.
I knew too.
Yeah. Because I hope I get in. Okay. So
that's my festival. I hope I get in.
I hope you get in, Genevieve. What if you don't get in? I'll be sad.
That would be so. Yeah. You should shit all over the festival.
What if I don't get in and I just trash myself on Facebook?
You should send yourself hate mail.
Just like talk shit about the festival on Facebook.
I only talk shit about the festivals that I've done.
Afterwards. Into large crowds. So I'm at Anthony DeSamito on Twitter and Instagram. Yeah, if you along with our own individual Twitters, the podcast also has a Twitter. It's at Thank You For Being A Podcast, but as an acronym, at TYFBAP, at TIFBAP, also at TIFBAP on Instagram. You can listen to us on iTunes, Stitcher, on the Audio Boom, TuneIn Radio, or any other platform you used to listen to us today. Music is by Brian Kokernak and Mike Dennison. Leave us a positive review on iTunes and we'll read it out loud one of these days. And the next episode, for those of you following along, it is titled Twice in a Lifetime. And it's season 5, episode 20. And that should be soups fun. So thank you everyone for listening and have a beautiful day and or night. Yay!
Yay! Yay! Thank you for having me again. At Chris R. Sanders. I forgot my Twitter handle.
At Chris R. Sanders. Don't forget.
Gonna stuff a chicken. Gonna stuff the chicken. Like my mama taught me. Like my mama taught me. Gonna take the chicken down to Mississippi.